What's up, everyone? I'm Tori.
And I'm Anissa.
And this is MTV's official challenge podcast, where we go behind the scenes of the challenge, Spies, Lies, and Allies.
This episode was crazy, and I cannot wait to get into it. All the politicking, the drama, and an elimination unlike any other on this season.
Yes! And of course, you know that we have to bring on Big T all about the elimination from her perspective.
I cannot wait to talk to her. So let's go. No, this is not. Oh, now it's time for something that I hate, Tori.
Anissa, you just introduced it for yourself because guess what? It's your time to do it. It's the 37-second recap, the time bomb for the 37th season of The Challenge. Are you ready to do it?
No.
I think you are. In all right. 3, 2, 1, go.
Oh, shit. Look out. It's Top Gun. You guys got to get inside of this plane and then it's submerged in the water. Then you got to get puzzle pieces and then bring them back. And then one team shits the bed and Emerald doesn't do that well either. But oh, look, Sapphire wins. Who would have thought that? Then all the drama at the club. Nani's about to kick Amanda's ass because you don't talk to her lady like that. And then Amanda doesn't like Tori. I don't know where that came from. And then Big T's on the chopping block and so is Amanda. Amanda goes into elimination. She picks Big T. Oh, wait a minute. Ashley's been deactivated, so what happens after this elimination? Big T gets brought back on. I'm so excited because she's one of my favorite people in the whole world. She's really funny. And we're going to have her on later.
The gasp of air. What happens after? It's like, are you doing this recap to like a group of children? Are you reading like a kid's book? Like a baby?
Says a fucking author of a children's book. And newly recognized plumber.
Oh, listen, that's last episode, Anissa. We're going to focus.
No. Once you have a trade, you always have a trade. Ugh. You are a plumber. Tori the plumber.
Well, apparently it's the only thing I'm good at because Amanda says I suck at everything. Let's get into the rest of the episode, all right? Let's talk about the play of the day. What do you think the best athletic move was?
I mean, I'm going to give it to the whole Sapphire cell.
Yeah,
I mean,
and Emmy for finding that last piece.
Right. Because I don't know if I would have been under, as Devin would say, the armpit of the wing. they did a really, really good job being efficient. I mean, I think CT could have done that by himself.
Yeah, he could have.
He's just really good. Like, his brain is just so organized.
Yeah.
The way that he can. I mean, even talking about a puzzle, like when we had to do the dot dash one, like communicating those kinds of things, like it seems hard, but for him, it's just like, okay, second nature.
Yeah.
So I think collectively that team worked really well. I think that you were right in last episode kind of saying like, that's a threatening team.
Yeah.
They all have different things that they can contribute. Logan's really good at puzzles too. I mean, you have a puzzle team, basically.
Right.
A puzzle team that's athletic.
Right.
And there's nothing worse than that on a challenge because they can do everything. You have a big guy like CT who can carry everyone on his team, literally pick them up and carry them. Like, they have so many strengths. And they were really calm.
And they also got to go last. Would you know in this?
Okay. Yes.
Would you know in this? And I'm not taking any credit away from them. I think even if they went first, they definitely would have done better than Ruby. And they still probably could have beat us because they had a great system. But that was a huge thing because when that plane lifted up, so obviously Emerald went first. We loaded into the plane. It gets put over the water, but the teams on the ground could see the puzzle on the under of the wings. So you had
I figured they wouldn't change it, but you know what they should have done?
No, they did change it. They did change it. But what didn't change was where that red line was. So what happened, and I'm just going to try to explain this as clearly as possible. When we were underneath the plane and why there was so much miscommunication on Emerald is because you had to read from right to left, like you would read a normal book, right?
You mean left to right?
I mean left to right. Fuck! I always say that. Okay, listen, but I was actually reading it left to right. I actually was, but I always say it incorrectly, but I was reading it left to right.
Okay.
So maybe I was. I don't know, actually. I could have actually been the one to mess this whole thing up. Poor Josh, probably carrying it on his back. Who actually really knows anymore?
No one knows.
This whole thing goes underwater. And so the issue was, though, we were both on opposite sides of the plane. And so, right, when you're reading it left or right, I'm reading from the plane. I was on my side, was reading it from the plane out to the wing. Josh was reading it from the plane out to the wing. But Devin when he was screaming from the plane out to the wing, he didn't realize that on Josh's side, he had to be reading it from the wing to the plane because it was the exact. So it's kind of confusing when you're under there. We were trying to figure out, okay, wait, is it the same puzzle on both wings? Like, do we have to read each wing differently?
But wait, the wing, there were two puzzles. There were two keys.
There were two keys. Each wing had a key.
But were both keys the same?
Both keys were identical, yes.
Oh, because Devin was calling out commands, Josh was reading, but they were two sides, so it'd be backwards.
Exactly.
Got it. For anybody listening, for all of you listening out there, I hope you just got it because I had an aha moment too.
Yeah, it is very complicated. Honestly, good because the game needed to be shaken up anyway. Like people are saying it's so boring, Emerald winning. And I think the season from this point on gets incredibly interesting. So I'm fired up that this is going on, but that's where it goes down.
You're fired up for more than one reason, but we'll talk about that fire later.
Okay, let's talk about that later. Let's do the dirtiest deed.
I mean, I think the conversation with Josh was the dirtiest deed.
Yeah, Amanda Loring.
And it's not because of you. I mean, I would have felt that way about anyone else. Like, throw Big T in the mix. Throw any person. Just take you out of it, Tor.
You've called me out for dirtiest deeds before when I did Pizzagate. So I know.
But I'm just saying, like, it could have been anyone and Nani and Casey. You have Casey, who's your girl from Big Brother. And then you have Nani, who's like your sister and one of your best friends. Clearly, the odd man out is the other person that's not one of them.
Right.
But it's just the way in which it was taken out of, like, right. You know, Josh, like, Josh doesn't mean to really hurt anybody's feelings.
No.
It's just the way that it was asked. Like, I mean, and I kind of like, I know Amanda's like sneaky, but I kind of fuck with it a little bit because somebody has to do something here. Like
100%.
Someone has to do it and she's good at doing it. But
it sucks at to be the on expense, the shit end of, the
stick. Of course, but yeah. At the expense of your friends, I think that's where it gets a little weird. But I mean, I think as a player, she is one of the more conniving, manipulative, smart players I think that we have left. That's like, I'm doing what I can, you know, guys do it all the fucking time.
Yeah, she owns it and she's very fearless about it, which I think makes for a great TV show for sure. It just sucks to be on the other end of the stick. It's like, ugh. Leave me alone. I'm so happy over here on my spot, you know, but anyway, we'll get into that.
Yeah, but think about it. If it's me and Devin and somebody else, I mean, you're going to pick the somebody else.
100%.
So that's,
I would do the same
thing.
That's
the only, because at first I'm like, don't fuck with my friend. But then I'm like, you even said it like, well, if I were her, you know, if I were Josh, like, who do you pick?
Yep.
So it makes sense.
100%.
But it definitely still sucks. You always want to be part of the in crowd. You don't want to be the one that's left out of. That.
No, for sure. I mean, like, it's nice. It's not like, we can talk about it deeper later in the episode as we comb through it, but it wasn't the world's worst thing that happened. It lit a fire under my butt that was, I think, important and needed to be lit at this point in the game.
Not I needed so, to be lit at this point in the game.
I needed to catch fire at this point in the game.
I needed to be lit on fire. I needed to be engulfed in flames.
Let's talk about being engulfed in that water because I want to talk.
I'm still nervous.
That was my biggest fear. That challenge was the scariest challenge I've ever done in my life.
I had my stomach was in knots like I was there each time a team went up and in.
Do you want to know what the safety team said to us before we did this challenge?
It's a matter of life or death.
We have the best.
Safety guys, this is a matter of death or death. Is it? Is it a matter of death or death? Okay.
We have the best safety guys in the world. Like, they are incredible. They worked on, like, huge – and our stunt team is incredible. They worked on, like, Mad Max and, like, huge productions. They've done stunts for pretty much everything. So they're talking to us, and they're giving us, like, the rules of the game, and they're explaining to us before we go into the fighter jet. And then they're like, yeah, don't worry if you pass out. We have people underneath the water. They'll put the air in your mouth. You'll wake back up in about 30 seconds and you can rejoin the game. We were like, what?
What? Yeah, well, the thing is that.
They must have been kidding when they said that.
We do really crazy shit sometimes. And we do a lot of crazy stuff a lot of the time. People aren't perfect. I mean, they are as safe as they possibly can be.
Oh,
it's just human bodies can make errors and. You don't know how you're going to when's the last time you were in a fighter jet underwater in a suit?
Never in my
never.
Life.
Never. You're in coveralls and water shoes. You're like, you're never put in that position. So when they're like, you know, it's a matter of life or death, you know, if you're unconscious, we'll help you.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a real thing. And the panic sets in and you freak out and you can't find your seatbelt. Like, that's what would have scared me.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, you know, we had our hands. There was four buckles that all went together in the middle of your chest. And so the other thing that you don't really get to see is that as you're submerging, they want you to get eye underwater before they blow the horn if you're in the front row. Right. So I'm in the front. I'm right next to Josh. So we go even deeper than the people behind us because you see it's really kind of going in and at a slant. Mm-hmm. So we go in and you're looking for the signs, and they gave us three symbols. They're blowing an air horn. They have one of the producers waving their arms like this. And then they have that huge bomb explosion. If you see any one of those three, it means you can take off your buckle. But you weren't allowed to unbuckle until you saw those signs. So we were sitting in there, hands ready to go. You had to keep your hands up on your chest. So they knew that you weren't unbuckling before. I mean, they put us in a state of pure fear. And then as soon as they blow those horns, it was like immediately grab open, pop open the top, which was zip tied together.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was just open.
No, it was zip tied. So you have to punch it just to make it even scarier.
Yeah, but I think that I wouldn't delicately get out of a jet anyway. I feel like I would just try to bomb out of that thing.
And like, you know what? You did. We all did. We were just like, bam, we were out of it. Easy.
It was one of the scariest ones. And I think in the previews in the beginning of the season, because it was in the trailer, I think. Mm-hmm. I was terrified, but I was like, God, that looks so cool. Like, they did a lot of stuff this season that I've never seen before.
Yeah.
Like, you always have your typical, like, eliminations and certain challenges that are repeated in some form or fashion. But this is like, yo, we're taking it up a level.
Yeah. The fact that we got that, it was like a breath of fresh air. And then obviously we have to go drowned, but it was exciting. Ruby obviously didn't do so great. We saw a lot of mistakes on their team and they timed out 45 minutes.
Did it look like when you were watching, did it look like Sapphire was just like killing this whole entire thing?
Yeah. The whole time we knew, we were like, the only chance that we thought we had was when they couldn't find that last piece. And we all experienced that on Emerald. So we're like, oh, okay, maybe, you know. Because we weren't really sure if Josh had the piece or not. Like, he kind of said he did, but yeah, he did. He had the piece.
How did he tie it to him? So
we had carabiners, and he carabined it to his thing, his like foot or something, while he was swimming and looking for a lot of them. His goal was to collect many and then unhook them and then pass them.
Well, that didn't work out. Wait, I have so many questions. My other question is, where Emmy found that one piece in the armpit, did every team have a piece in the armpit?
Every team had all of the puzzles in the exact same spot. Yeah.
I'm so proud of you for doing it. It definitely looks scary.
Thank you.
You didn't die because you're here.
Yeah.
Shout out to the safety guys, if you're listening all the way over there in your country.
Let's get into the house now, because obviously there was a lot that goes on. Mm-hmm. We go to this club and it's the Top Gun mission themed party, and we all looked so cool.
Oh, take my breath away. Like, come on for old music that makes my old soul and heart just pitter patter. All those kisses. Those plumbers were kissing again. I don't know if you know them. God. The nude plumber and the clothed plumber. just call them E.T. They were giving each other a cute kiss, and then Nani and Casey are making romance, and it's just great until it's not great. Everything always happens at the club. The club induces so much shit, and I know that's why they have us go.
Yeah.
Like, the club brings out everything.
Yeah.
The club is where you're talking about stuff, because you're all in one room, and then the aftermath of the club.
Yeah.
We're all hungover the next day.
I thought it was really interesting how, you know, when me, Big T, Nani, and Casey were talking, we weren't actually talking about what Amanda thought we were talking about. I don't remember what we were talking about, but like when she walked over, it was like a very like, oh, cool, like she's here, like no big deal. It wasn't like, oh, hush, hush, Amanda's watching. Like, we were talking about something pretty regular. I don't remember what though. Big T was talking about something. And as obviously she sits down, obviously Amanda feels paranoid. She knows that she's probably going in. But you know what I really loved is watching Nani stick up for Casey. Like, that was so spicy. And I love the interview where Nani's like, listen, I know I'm cool and collected these days, but don't forget, a bitch is crazy. And
I love
that.
She is.
And I am.
Nani
has
a piece of crazy, but when you love somebody.
Yeah.
And that's your person. You're kind of like, or her friends. I mean, she's always been the one to like.
Yeah.
You know, like, it reminded me of that whole, I was like, she can get worse. Remember Double Agents? Like, I mean, Total Madness with Maddie. Yeah. I'm like, things can definitely escalate. Yeah. She's definitely come a long way, but don't mess with her, boo. So if any of you guys want to try and test Nani, I would suggest, or Casey, I would suggest not to do so. Thank
just
you.
Don't.
Little
just
PSA. Little yeah. PSA. For your, just don't. For your own good. Just don't.
I was a big fan of that moment. I thought it was really cool, and I love them as a couple. So there's that. Then we go back into the house, right? It's the next day now. It's time for this big moment to happen. All of a sudden, obviously, Sapphire walks into the deliberation chamber. Ashley's gone. Everyone is super confused. But Kyle does a great job at breaking the ice. Because we were all sitting in there like, holy shit, what the fuck just happened? Mm-hmm. And then Kyle's like, Emerald lost. And now, okay, the ball's rolling and we're getting to talk again. Kyle is great for comic relief. We needed that.
Yeah. Yeah. Kyle's like, I could make this really weird or like funny.
Yeah.
Like I could use the fact that Emerald finally lost, even though I want to be on that team so badly.
I know. Yeah.
But Kyle's amazing, and Kyle really can – sometimes I think losing as a team makes you feel a little bit better than losing mm-hmm. as a pair. 100%. So I think that people could be a little bit more lighthearted when it comes to taking some of these L's on the chin and keeping it moving.
I agree.
I am surprised, however, about not voting Big T into as the house vote. I mean, I still think she would have picked Amanda.
Yeah, she would.
I think it worked better for TV to have Amanda in there because she literally could have picked any of you.
Well, she threw herself in, and I think that she did it just like she said. She didn't want anyone to feel comfortable. But, like, as I call out in the chamber, I'm like, well, if you're planning on coming to Emerald, if you call me out and you beat me, then you have to take either Nani or Casey's spot. Doesn't sound like something you want to do. So all of this is smoke and mirrors. You're going to call out Big T. You're just talking. You're barking right now. You want us to feel afraid.
To be honest, I think the smaller you are, the better it would have been. On that thing, yeah, too, just maybe. To be agile. I can't imagine. I mean, your girl's flexible and everything, but like being in that kind of squat,
right?
Because I think Amanda's center of gravity. Tiny. She was smarter about it. You know, like just crouching down and doing it. Because I would have been bent over trying to like figure it out. Yeah. So I think she made the right decision for her game. And then surprise, surprise, Big T's out. We're like, oh, nobody ever wants to see that ray of sunshine leave. Oh, but wait a minute. Amanda, before you start fucking shit up, Big T, you get to stay in the game. And how wonderful is that for her?
Dude, so good.
No one gets second chances. It's like so rare.
And it was so funny because when TJ's initially calling her, he's like, Big T. At first, it looks like she turns around right away and comes back. She must have walked so quick out of there because we waited a minute for her to even turn around. And we were all like, oh my God, like she booked it. She was like, I'm fucking out. I'm out of the game. I'm out of here, motherfuckers. Like, ha, joke's on you. Like talking about already starting plans and doing something new and like keeping her head up. But it was super cute to see her come back into the game. Like I've never seen that happen before.
Yeah, I don't really, I think maybe once or when you get down there and like, hey, there's no elimination. That always used to be great. Yeah. Or if somebody got hurt or deactivated, we kind of just skip the girls' elimination and go to a guy's.
Right.
Which is always spice factor on 1,000. Yeah. But we didn't get that. And now Big T's back on her team and Amanda takes your spot on Emerald. And there you gone on over to the red team. To the Ruby cell.
I have so many feelings watching this one back because in that moment for me, I just felt so like just disposable a little bit by not all of Emerald, but obviously the conversation with Josh. At that point, I hadn't seen it, so I didn't really know like what was true and what wasn't. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of getting in my own head over there. I'm like, well, I don't know who to trust. I don't know. But regardless, it was just kind of like, ugh. Like, I know that this team, we were killing it together. We won 4 straight missions in a row. And now I have to go over to Ruby, which is like the joke of the show. So it's like, how am I going to fix this team? And how am I going to work on this squad? But when you look at the players individually, you have Kyle, you have Nelson. Both people have been to finals. Mm-hmm. Big T is underrated. Like, yes, she has her strengths. She has her weaknesses. But she has strengths. And she doesn't get a lot of credit for those. Mm-hmm. She's pulled them out of nowhere before, out of thin air.
I mean, she's a swimmer. She's upper body strength. She definitely has. And she's smart as shit.
Yeah.
So... Yeah. You're not going to need everything for, I mean, I always say this, when does a challenge ever, like an individual challenge ever showcase all of your, when is it ever a soccer game tour? Like you're
only
killing it
once.
If it's soccer.
Brush contact, like once.
Right. But you know what I mean? Like.
Yeah. Like once.
So we don't know what we're good at sometimes until we're faced with it. And we'll see, you know, how far yeah. this game is going to be able to push some of you to be your best selves.
Yeah.
But I think we should talk to Big T and get yeah. her feelings, because I'm sure there are a lot of feelings watching this back. You know, it's like your typical dodgeball thing of like, you don't want to get picked last. But yeah. it's, you know, it's so hard when you're doing something and you feel like you have to prove to people that you're worth it.
Yeah.
People are playing their own game. And you know what? You can't take yeah. it personally. It's Mm-mm. all about them.
You just gotta
it's a selfish back. Game, regardless of what team you're on and what's happening. Yeah. So I want to see what Big T has to say. She, of course, she is our angel baby friend. And I'm excited.
Yeah, let's get Big T on the phone. All right, everybody, it is time for our favorite segment of the podcast. It's where we get to interview somebody super special. And today, I feel like it's going to be the best podcast episode yet. The last time this person was on the show, it was just her and myself. Right now, we have Anissa, me, and the one and only Big T.
Woo! Yes, what an introduction. Thank you, Tori.
Of course.
Very excited and honored to be here.
I love you, Big T. Only one of us can introduce you, so I love you too. Just want to let you know I'm here. I love you and I support you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love you too, Anissa.
This was a big, Big T episode.
Yeah.
There was a lot of tea in this one.
Mm-hmm. There was a lot of tea in this one and, you know, a lot that wasn't shown, which I'm ready to reveal.
Ooh.
Big spilleth thy tea.
thy will spilleth.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you.
Dude, so how has it been since we've last seen you? I know that you have a lot to say about this episode, but like aside from that, how are you feeling?
Yeah, I feel really good. I mean, obviously, when you rewatch an episode, you relive everything and you're like, you know, you watch everything play back and hear what everybody said. But, like, you know, generally it is a game. I'm feeling pretty good within myself. Do you know how I am? I'm always happy. You can always find happiness in everything. And I'm feeling positive and perky.
Okay.
So, yeah, all's good.
Good. Positive and perky. Well, speaking of perky, that challenge was crazy. The mission was crazy. I was nervous the whole time watching it. Like when each team went and just nosedived into the water. How did you feel about that one?
I like to think that I am a water baby, but my God, when you're in it, like an enclosed cage and you see the water rising up, you're just like, oh my God, my seatbelt on, I have to break the roof, I could drown, oh, I could literally die right now.
Yeah.
So you just start to panic, the nerves come in, the bubbles are like around your nose, your mouth, it's really terrifying, very thrilling. I mean, it's definitely a challenge for the daredevils out there.
I think it was the scariest challenge we did ever in my life. That's my two worst fears, drowning and then like kind of heights. And then it was like deep swimming. It was, and then a puzzle, which is just not my fave.
Deep swimming.
It was deep. It was deep.
It was a deep swim. No, it's really hard to get underneath the water. Tori and I were talking about how tough it can be.
Yeah.
Especially when you're trying to relay a message to people on land.
That's the thing. It's like when you think you have to dive, and you know, I've experienced with diving. So I'm trying to dive, but actually, you know, you have to use a different technique to lower yourself under this plane. And so, you know, we got to a certain point where Tori actually said to me, T, this is how you have to get down, hook your legs underneath the wing and push yourself down. So thank God to Tori, I was actually able in the end to go underneath and read the puzzle underneath that wing. So thank you, Tori.
Of course. 100%. I mean, like watching Team Ruby out there, I was like, no, first of all, I love you. I'm so happy that we've been able to get so close. The season was huge, I think, for our friendship. Anissa always knew it. Anissa was like, you guys are going to love each other.
Listen, for the audience out there, during quarantine, we were split up. The internationals are one side. US is on the other side. And Tori was feeding seagulls.
Yeah.
She spent so much money.
Yeah, I did.
Feeding seagulls and listening to doing a Dance Dance Revolution remake next door to my room. Yeah. And then I find out when we move into the house, Big T is also feeding the seagulls because no one should starve and she doesn't waste food. So if she's not going to eat it, seagull friends will.
Yeah, right.
So, and that's why I was like, oh, both of you idiots are going to be friends. Both of you seagull moms.
Yeah, seagull moms. Yeah.
Both of you seagull feeders are going to be together. I mean, I was there too, but Tori's balcony looked like a shit, literally. Just somebody just took a shit everywhere.
Yeah, it wasn't the best. It wasn't the best place to live, but the birds were happy.
They're not tidy eaters, seagulls. Very messy.
And they eat and shit at the same time, so it can get a little confusing.
Yeah. You know what else was confusing? What? CT had a lot to say about you this episode. I was a little confused about that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You know, people say, don't take things personally. It is game. It's game. I absolutely understand that. You know, I have the emotional intelligence to understand that. However, coming into this season, whilst, you know, we're in quarantine, before we started filming, CT called me and he said to me, Big T, I'm so sorry how our friendship played out last season in Iceland. I feel really, really bad. You know, I want to find an opportunity where I can make things up to you. And I've been thinking about situations and scenarios in my head. And I just imagined this moment where you're in trouble and, you know, you have to go down into elimination and I come in and I save you and I take your space anyway. You know, I want to fall on the sword for you. Those were direct quote CT's words. And I said to him, I was like, this is very dramatic, but I actually got quite teary hearing that because I was just like, wow, this is somebody who, come on guys, it's $1 million. When you hear somebody say, I want to fall on the sword for you, I'm just like, wow, this is somebody who really, really wants to make amends and wants to give me an opportunity and they truly believe in me. Okay, come to watching this episode and previous episodes. I was literally like, whoa. So that conversation literally like leave you just like that. And, you know, it just really confirms my fears of Iceland, which was I really did feel like the whole Hawk and Bunny friendship, you know, from my side of things, it was genuine. But from CT's side, I do think it was a storyline.
And strategy.
Strategy, absolutely.
He's very strategic.
And the thing is, I have to say, I love first half of season CT and then mid to end season CT is a slightly different person. I think he sees the finishing line and I think he just switches and the softer side of him goes.
Yeah.
Well, I commend you for keeping your cool. I don't know what's to come because this episode's insane. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have to go into elimination.
Yeah.
And you lose, and then TJ brings you back.
Best thing ever, by the way, you coming back.
I mean, I was so upset. I'm like, oh, Big T's leaving. Even though it wasn't there, I feel like the audience can feel what I felt is like your best friend's leaving, or like your heart's leaving, or the entertainment, or the laughter, like some part is leaving. And I was so upset because I was like, shit, need to go like that. Like, I want Big T to stay.
Yeah.
And then here's TJ. Yo, Big T. Big T. And then you come back and they're like, you're staying. You're like, really?
Yeah. But you know what I think is so funny?
It's amazing.
Like, a part of us, okay, let me just rewind and set something up. So there was that one scene in the club, right, where me, Big T, Nani, and Casey, you're all sitting down and talking. And Big T, I'm pretty sure in that moment you were talking about what you were going to do if you by chance left. I'm pretty sure that's what the conversation was about, but I don't exactly remember. But we had conversations like you were very in the game, but at the same time, like anybody is, it's like, okay, well, if I go home and I get to leave this treacherous game, I'm going to be doing this stuff. So you had a very good attitude about the whole thing. She was like, whatever happens, happens. And so when she left, right, we were like, wow, she made it out. She's free. You know, like she actually.
That's how we all feel about, like, yeah, she got, you want to stay in prison, but they're like, if I stay in prison long enough, I may be able to fight for $1 million. But yeah, you're like, oh, she's free.
She's out.
What's it like on the outside?
Yeah. Like knowing that she probably already had a manicure pedicure set up and like a Dubai trip set up, like ready to go. The girl hits the ground.
She was already
running.
In Dubai.
Right. Like, and so when they asked her to come back and I said this, it took you a little bit before you even came back. We were like, did she run? She booked it. She fucking booked it, dude. She's gone. So
she's already at the airport. She already called. She was like, make sure my car is out there whilst I change.
Yeah. So I'm like, are the tears that you had when you were told you were entered back in the game, tears of happiness or tears of like, oh shit, this isn't over yet?
So when TJ first called my name, I was a little bit confused. I thought I was really going, and I was in my head in Dubai, as we discussed. And then, you know, I'm walking there, and then TJ it suddenly hits me. I'm just like, wow, I've actually been given a second chance. And that's when I was just literally like, bloody hell. I just, in that moment, I was like, well, I really, really want this. And I just felt so, so grateful. And I was actually really overwhelmed. And I think shocked as well. I was just like, those were tears of joy and just appreciation. And because I really didn't see that coming.
Yeah. So now that you have this second chance, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to play the game differently? Are you going to trust people less? I mean, when you're about to leave, if you're like, oh, well, fuck them. You know what I mean? Like, you have this feeling of like, it's over. I don't give a shit. I don't have to put on for anybody any longer, because we all do. Like, we all put on a face for the game because the drama is annoying. But like, what are you gonna do now?
Well, just, you know, when you're given a second opportunity, you have to, you know, really appreciate it. And so I just thought, I can't waste this chance. I want to train harder. I'm gonna, you know, just work harder, do whatever I've been doing already, but just try hard, a million times harder until I drop. And so that was it, really. And, you know, after losing elimination and then coming back into the house, you know, there's a little bit of shame there, because you feel as if you've been given an opportunity that you don't really deserve, in a way. You know, I was there by default. And so, you know, I just thought, because of that, I have to try extra hard.
Yeah. And you did, though. I remember, because obviously at this point now, after watching you in the elimination, I very clearly wanted you to win for two reasons. Number one,
thank you.
I fucking love you. Number two, Amanda was going to steal my spot. It wasn't about that either. So it was a win-win for me for you to win. Thank God you get to come back in the house, because your energy is there, which is super incredible. But the moment I get switched over to your team, I just remember you coming up to me being like, just tell me what we're doing. Like, I'm in. I'm ready to go. And the next morning, I feel like there was a point where you were on the treadmill for 2 hours at one point. I was like, holy.
Yeah, yeah, it's true.
Like 2 hours straight. I was like, actually, I don't know if that's helpful, Big T, but that's incredible that you can push your mind to working for that amount of time on a treadmill, because it's super boring. So, I mean, the switch, it was very clear. Like, I think to everybody on Ruby especially, like, once our team, and obviously we're not going to talk about it too much because it's next episode, but once our team gets together, it is a different energy. It's four people that really haven't been on a team yet all season. It's me, you, Nelson, and Kyle. And we do have a different feel now. We're like, all right, your attitude is fully in the game.
That's a crazy team.
I'm fired up. Like, it's a good energy to have. Like, Ruby definitely has a different feel now. And so I don't know. Were you excited when we started to merge?
Absolutely, Tori. Like, I was so happy to see you come to Ruby. Really, really happy, obviously. And I just knew it was going to be different, because especially when it comes down to communication, because I find it very ironic that Nelson says that he's a good communicator, because he's not.
Spies, lies, and allies. It's probably the only thing I understood all season.
Oh my God, Anissa.
I love Nelly T. He knows that. Oh, I'm allowed to joke.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, yeah, I mean, you know, he's an absolutely lovely guy, but like, you know, it does quite annoying how, you know, he consistently says, oh, you know, when it comes to me and Amanda, he's just like, yeah, they're there for the wrong reasons. And it's just like, well, my darling, you don't know what the reasons of me being in the game are. Just because you see me or view me as a weak competitor, that's at your entitled to your own opinion. But don't doubt why any of us are there. We all have our stories. We all have our motivations. So I do take that comment, you know, quite strongly.
Yeah.
I would too. Because it just sucks. Sorry, I know it gets you fired up.
Yeah, I'm so hungry today.
I know. It's just getting you really spicy for dinner, getting you worked up so you can have a good meal.
Yeah.
I want to know, personally, do you like working in teams better than pairs?
It's so much pressure. Especially when you feel like you are the worst person on the team. It's just, you feel as if you're letting down so many people, because, you know, with pairs, I prefer individuals, to be honest. Because if I have other people's fate in my hands, it is a lot. And especially, you know, if you don't perform very well, it's just awful, because you just see what damage you're doing to other people. And yeah, it's a lot of pressure.
Right. So if you work individually, and I feel the same, it's like, yeah, maybe there's nobody there to help you, but at the same time, you're not going to bring anybody else down with you if it goes down. It's easier to deal with the loss.
But I also feel like the pressure makes you strive to do better too.
That's true.
There's a flip side of like that pressure. For me, I'm like, oh my God, my little team family is going to die if I don't do well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Unless you hate your team. You hate your team and they suck. But I like your little Ruby band of misfits of like Kyle, who doesn't want to be there. Nelson, who just lost his best friend, he's sad.
Yeah.
You almost left the game, and Tori got her spot taken. So, right. I mean, it can only go up from here.
100%.
You know, everybody's been at their bad point. But I also found a big high moment in this episode where Tori was cheering for you like you were in the championship game of soccer. Soccer mom, sideline, soccer mom, Tori.
But Tori, you know, it was so great. Like, you know, I feel like we've been on such a journey with our friendship. And like, you know, especially from last season to having you cheering me on. And it was great because like I could hear other people cheering on. Amanda, and you have a very loud voice.
Yeah.
So then she's like, come on, Nixie. That really encouraged me.
Yeah. Like, she also loses it after. You know when Tori's been to an elimination the night before that she wasn't in because she loses her whole entire voice. And I'm like, who is that? You're like, so I was cheering on Big T last night.
Dude, I just get so passionate. You know, I really am. Like, I can't help myself. And especially, and I was thinking it too, Big T, after watching this episode, like, it's amazing. I'm proud of how much our friendship has grown. It's the same with me and Anissa. We've had our pitter-patter moments. And we're best friends. So it's like,
I love her. Some I would do anything for her.
Yeah. Some of the best friends come from the most interesting stories.
Well, because there's this misunderstanding between, there are a lot of different personalities. And I think that the more you hang out with people, the more you do challenges, you know, you're going to get closer with certain people. You're going to make amends. And now we can do a Big T and Anissa Tori sandwich.
Speaking of getting closer to people and making amends, let's talk about Logie Bear. Let's talk about Logie Monk Kenobi.
This moment with him, the passion, Logan. I don't know, Big T.
He was throwing some shade this episode, definitely.
Yeah, what the fuck?
Yes, what do you want to know?
Well, no, just like experience. This is the first time we've seen you on TV actually be interested
having
in
a showman.
Yeah, absolutely. I've never ever like, you know, been interested in TV, in somebody in TV before. And like, you know, sometimes it's like, you know what, like, let me just go with it, see what happens, keep it lighthearted, you know, maybe have some fun. Like, turned out it was just better that we were just friends. But the thing is like, I think in that environment, it's, you know, there's not a lot of people around.
Yeah.
And normally you can say plenty of fish in the sea, but they aren't in that environment. Yeah, yeah.
There are no fish. One fish.
It's like a can of tuna.
Yeah. I'll take dead it. Fish. Like, well, this is what we got.
When you're spending a lot of time with someone and you're laughing together and you get on together, you can be like, oh, do I like this person? And then, you know, the season's over and you see each other in real life. You're like, oh my God, no. We are literally just friends.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that was that. But like, you know, I'm proud of myself for opening myself up to, you know, new experience because I've never experienced anything like that before. And, you know, at the end of the day, I think I'm going to stick to scheming because that's what I do best.
I love
and that's what I enjoy the most.
Yeah.
We find out a lot about ourselves and our strengths and our weaknesses. And it's like showmances may not be yours. Just like Tori needs to take notes on seasons of her social game to work that up. Like, we all have things that we need to work on. And the 100%. More shows we do, the more we realize.
Yeah. Well, Logan
maybe
was
I shouldn't be doing this.
Logan was a rookie. And speaking of rookies, so this season there was a storyline about you getting close to a bunch of rookies. Do you think that people have a hard time considering you a vet because of how close you do naturally get to people who enter into the game?
No, I think probably people have a hard time considering me a vet because probably they maybe they didn't think I take the game seriously. I don't know where that comes from with itself. My thing is, I was in a room full of rookie girls. And like, yes, I know last season I did play with rookies, but also I did play with vets. And also it's not that I play the game, like to play the game with rookies. I like to play the game with my friends.
Yeah.
So the people, the rookies from Iceland who I played the game with, Gabby, I was just with her last week. I see her all of the time. Amber M, I stay with her when I'm in Los Angeles. You know, if I go to LA in a couple of weeks, I'm having Thanksgiving with her, you know? And then, you know, unfortunately with Amphibie, hadn't spent as much time with her. But like, you know, that's the thing. And so coming into this season, I was in a room full of rookie people. And like, I'm not going to ignore rookies because also you guys can relate to this. People's rookie seasons are really awkward because, you know, the vets have their friendships and they want to catch up with their friends. And then, you know, it's just nice to be welcoming.
Yeah.
Also, you guys, like, it was international season. And, you know, I love my travel. I love learning about, you know, people's different cultures. And I just thought it was really cool just to, like, hang out and learn new things from people. And hey, ho, that's just how it goes.
No, but that's how it gets after you do enough seasons. People are like, so why are you hanging out with them? I mean, I had all the rookies are my best friends when I did Bloodlines. I mean, it worked out well for me, but I just loved being with people that hadn't played the game a lot, that weren't like damaged. So
damaged is right.
To put it plainly, damaged.
Yeah.
And people with like this new outlook. It was like a bunch of Eds, but like less enthusiastic. But just like a bunch of people that are really excited to play the game. So I get why. And you had so many big personalities in your room and so many strong women in your room. I mean.
I did.
Mm-hmm. These were rookies amazing. That you didn't want to mess with.
Yeah. And also, like, you get to build, like you said, fresh new relationships with people. Whereas if, like, coming into this game, obviously we're great now, but it's like, this is just an example. You can have question marks on me because is the past going to come back to haunt? Is it not? Like,
absolutely.
So it's like, yeah, of course, naturally, why wouldn't you want to gravitate towards somebody where you don't feel like, how is this one going to play out? I think that's so natural. Also, you have one of those personalities that can make many people feel comfortable, which is why people gravitate towards you. So I think that there was a few names. I don't even want to get into more drama. There was a few people that were seriously pushing this rumor about a few catty girls.
Spill. Was it Ashley and Amanda? It was. Yeah, I know it was Ashley and Amanda. Come on, you guys.
What happened?
I know everything. I know everything.
I don't want to say anything because I don't want more drama right now. But I can say that there were a few people pushing this narrative. But
I know that it was Ashley and Amanda. I think basically, honestly, it's all coming out. I think Ashley was very upset that I voted her in one of the eliminations in Iceland. And I think, you know, she carried on that beef onto this season. Maybe she felt threatened by it. But yes, but I do know there was Ashley Mann. But even though Ashley was trying to say that it was Huey, and then also she tried to push it on Nelson.
What was said?
Just that, you know, don't trust Big T. She's building a rookie army. She's, you know, and do you know what the worst part of that is that coming into the season, you know, the rookies actually did come to me and they said, who can we trust out of the vets? Who shouldn't we trust? And I realized I had an opportunity because I spent my first night with all the new rookies and I realized there were a lot of rookies. I was just like, I could really stir the pot here.
Yeah.
I could really just be like, ooh, but I didn't. And that was the thing. I actually said, look, guys, you have to decide for yourself. Have an open mind. And I actually didn't say a bad thing about anyone. So that to then be accused of that, I was just like, damn it.
Yeah.
And actually, yeah.
Yeah,
so
you could have had
wasn't so fun.
Wow, that's really interesting. You could have swayed the game could have been completely different had you said one little
we would
thing.
Have been going in.
Yeah.
You don't know anybody anything, especially now watching it back. It's like,
yeah,
I really could have played this differently, but
yeah.
There's always next season, Big T.
The pot shall be stirred.
Yes. Pot shall be stirreth.
Are there any rookies that you're looking forward to hopefully seeing next season that have been on this season? Like, are there people that you hope get a call back?
Yes, Esther, Priscilla. So the rookies I would love to see back are Tatcha, Esther, Priscilla. You know, I was very close to those girls. Yeah. And, you know, they're such great competitors. You know, Esther made it very long in the game. I know Priscilla's so nice to have some more people from the UK. So we'd love to see Priscilla back. Yeah, my little glam squad as well.
Yeah.
They did my hair and makeup this season.
I mean, they literally.
So I was like, thank you.
Priscilla was my arms when I couldn't move one and she did my hair for me. And I talked about that on a previous podcast. I mean, so sweet.
Yeah.
One of the best narrators. She's awesome.
Yeah.
And so beautiful.
Esther is gorgeous. Oh my God. Priscilla. I mean, they're beautiful women.
Beautiful. Yeah.
very beautiful.
Yeah, great so adds beautiful. To the show. I hope they get right. to come back. Especially because they're spicy and smart right. and powerful. It's like, yeah, fuck yeah, yeah. Turn it up. And that was yeah. their rookie season. On your rookie season, you're like a little timid. And they still, they played smart, but they still played like mm-hmm. cool, yeah. you know?
So you don't want any of these guys to come back? Yeah. Just girls.
I would love Huey to come back. I absolutely love Huey. And the rest, not really bothered, really. But I mean, they're lovely. But, like, just if I had to pick one, it's Huey.
So you'd rather have Muffy come back?
Yes! Bring back Muffy!
If you guys don't know, Big T on Double Agents, I may have said it before, we used to get these extravagant breakfasts in Iceland. And so we got smoked salmon, we got cucumbers, eggs, and then all of the desserts.
Yeah.
You could, I mean, the best muffins I've ever had. Mm-hmm. So Big T decides really to bring a muffin because she likes to eat in bed. And the muffin stayed there for about 2 weeks. And then somebody gave him eyeballs. He yes. had shoes, I think, too. And yes. we named him. She so named him Muffy.
Muffin? You had a pet muffin.
Yeah.
I had a pet muffin.
Named Muffy.
I think he might have got some airtime. I remember like having quite a serious conversation or something on my bed. And Muffy was just behind me. He was like, hi, Muffy.
He had the cutest eyes.
And then
eyes.
The cleaner murdered Muffy.
She came back. She was like, the cleaners took him and threw him away. Wow. And I feel like they stopped making like... chocolate muffins after that.
Yeah.
I mean, no one could replace Muffy, and no one can replace you, Big T.
No.
So I'm happy you get a second shot. I mean, I still get your lovely voice and your charisma. I'm really upset we didn't get to see any singing from you this season, but
thank
no one can
you.
Touch her.
Kyle
that was every day on Double Agents. We would make her stand on tables and sing, and if we ever sang with her, she was like, did I ask you to sing with me? Like... I'm like, you're really messing it up. I didn't ask for any harm.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like,
so good.
Open to duets now.
Oh, God.
My singing career has developed. I mean, we were singing some ballads together, Tori and Amsterdam. We were pretty good together. The harmonies.
I was more of a hype girl. I was like, yeah. Yeah. Big T, seriously, yeah. It is always a pleasure to have you. We have one final question for you. So this yes. season is called Spies, Lies, and Allies. We ask this question to everybody. Who do you think from this episode was the biggest spire, liar?
Spire?
Sorry. Spy, liar, and ally.
Okay. So. I will start off as spy. I think Amanda was possibly the spy, even though she did get the message wrong, because, you know, we're all having that scene in the club, like talking, and she was kind of spying, and then she comes in. Mm-hmm. So do we agree? I think Amanda's a little bit of a spy there.
I'll
okay.
give
Liar. Maybe CT, I would say. Just because.
Yeah, personal reasons.
Yeah. Liar.
Yeah. Say it, babe. Also, for you that
liar.
Don't know and can't see Big T, she's in a robe right now, just enjoying the comforts of Dubai, and has a list. Spy, liar, and ally. Just let you guys know.
She's listening.
She's really put some thought into it.
Yeah. Who's the ally?
Now, the ally is Tori. Because you really did cheer me on, honestly. And like, as you know, somebody was saying, like, it's not nice having that feeling of like, you know, nobody really wants to be on your team. And then just, you really were emotional support to me. And like, honestly, doing that elimination, hearing your bellowing voice above everybody else in the crowd. It really did bring some fire back into my heart, because you need heart in this game.
Yes.
And like, you know, we were there for such a long time at this stage. It's easy to get mentally checked out and burnt out. And sometimes you just need somebody who's still mentally checked in, just like make sure you kick your ass. And so thank you for kicking thine ass.
Oh, it was thine ass. It was a great feeling cheering for you. And dude, we love you. And I'm so excited that now I'm on the same team as you, because I just feel like this new energy, this Ruby energy, is just glowing different now. It's bright, it's hot, it's fucking ready, it's angry. We're all pissed. We're all fucking mess. We're hot.
We're a pretty angry team.
We're angry. We all need anger.
Red hot anger. That's what their new team.
You guys are going to see the next episode because it's, I think, the most intense episode for me. One of the most.
Yeah. It was fiery hot. It was chili hot, actually.
It was spicy. It's going to be an incredible episode. So I'm excited to watch it. I'm excited that we're on the same team for it because that was really fucking cool.
Yeah.
I'm happy you're here on the podcast, Big T. I'm happy you're still on the show. I'm happy I get to watch you on my screen. And when I'm not around, I'm happy that you can fill in on the podcast because I would listen to your voice every day.
Yeah.
You have become a great friend and such a caring person, and I love you. And please don't ever vote us in together ever
she
again.
She won't. She would never.
No, I would
She will die.
I mean, that's just a little, like, a cute little note for future reference. We're your friends, and if you want to start a new alliance, let us know. We're really into creating alliances via the podcast and then no one will know about the podcast alliance.
Right, she's writing it down.
Brilliant. Yep. I'm gonna write that down.
She's writing it down.
All these alliances keep popping up around me. There's Amsterdam Alliance, and there's a podcast alliance.
Well, I wasn't in Amsterdam, so you could just throw me into the Amsterdam alliance if you want.
You're in. You're so in.
I will give you the details.
Oh, yeah, my God. You're in.
Thank you so much. We will let you get back to your day because I know it's going to be lovely.
Yes.
Absolutely. Cannot wait.
Where can we follow you, and how can we support you?
Oh my gosh, do you know what, guys? I've finally been accepted on Cameo.
So you
can find me on, yes, 'tis the season for messages. So find me at Big T Faz on the Cameo. You know, how to go, there you go, www.cameo.com. And then on the Instagram, I'm also Big T Faz. And you know what? You can tweet me as well.
Yes.
I'm getting so technological.
You hear it,
I'm
guys.
Like three different things. That's amazing.
I love it.
On the Twitter, I'm the OG_BigT.
Yeah.
I love it because you are.
Yeah.
You're our original gangster.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
My friends in London don't know what that means. So I'm glad you understood.
I did. I actually want to come to London.
Well, we'll have a London alliance, and we'll all get cameos from Big T there. So, guys, you heard it here first. Big T's writing down the London alliance. Anybody who wants to be in it, you can meet us in London. Can be an off-screen, on-screen kind of thing. We'll figure it out. Also, make sure you get your cameo from Big T because he's hilarious. It would be a hilarious Christmas gift or any holiday gift.
Or if you want, like, some words of encouragement. She's very, 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 what's the word?
Enthusiastic.
Sprinkly.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus.
Sparkly.
She's very sparkly.
She definitely has her sparkle on this season.
Yeah.
And if you want a sparkle in your cameo, get one with Big T.
Yeah. Big T, thank you so much. We love you.
We love you, Big T.
I love you, ladies. Thank you so much for having me. I've had a lot of fun. And the tea has been spilled.
Oh, Big T is a breath of fresh air. I am so happy that she is part of our challenge family and that she gave up some of her time and her lovely day to talk to us about this week's episode.
Yes,
but now, Tori, I heard you have a little challenge confidential to share with us.
I do. I do have one from this episode, and I realized it as I was watching The Daily Mission, because when you look at the order of how this all played out, it looks like Emerald went first. And then Ruby went second, and then Sapphire slated at the end. But actually, the order is a little different. Emerald went first, Sapphire went second, slated, and then Ruby went and
did unslade. Wait, it shouldn't have gone down that way.
I know. You don't even know what it was like to watch it. We were like, what is happening over there?
Yeah, it made much more sense by the editing team. So kudos to the editing team because, it makes way more sense.
Yes, yes. Well, thank you guys so much for listening to this episode because it has been awesome to dissect it. And remember, you're only going to get this behind the scenes content on this podcast. So make sure you listen. Anissa, where can they send you listener questions?
You can send me listener questions at AnissaMTV. That's A-N-E-E-S-A-M-T-V. And Tori, where can we find you?
You guys can find me at Tori_deal. And just make sure you watch the challenge and listen every Thursday as we go behind the scenes of the challenge, Spies, Lies, and Allies.
And starting tomorrow, join us Fridays as we pull back the curtain on season 2 of the challenge All-Stars.
Yes, double the challenge every week.
Only on MTV's official challenge podcast.